I would like to read 1 Kings 17 for our word reflection and then some other scriptures. Today, we want God to speak to us so that we may understand Him and have faith and trust in Him. Firstly, from 1 Kings 17, verses 1 to 6. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kirit, that is before Jordan. And it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Kirit, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. There are testimonies in Holy Scripture that are extraordinary. And the life of the prophet Elijah was extraordinary in every way. A man with a divine commission who was connected to God and who could say, There shall be no rain in the coming years, neither dew nor rain shall fall. And then comes the important remark, unless I say so. We have here a very clear testimony before us. A man whose word was God's word. A man who did not express his own thoughts, but let the word of the Lord become his word, which he then passed on. And behold, the word of the Lord, even when spoken by human lips, remains the word of God. And the word of God never returns void. It always accomplishes what God has sent it to do. We believe that the church of the Lord will have a ministry before the rapture. She will receive the word of the hour, not only doctrinally, but also the things that are to be spoken, that God wants done, that He reveals, and are then spoken in His name. A connection between God's people and God, so that His thoughts can become our thoughts, His words, our words, and that we may speak them under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and simply watch as they become divine reality before our eyes. God has promised, not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit shall it be done. And the Spirit of God always needs vessels. He needs hearts that receive the word and believe. He needs a mouth that speaks His word, so that it may then come to pass and be fulfilled. We have read the word from James 5, especially verses 17 and 18. Elijah was a man just like us. That comforts us. He was not a superman who hovered above the clouds. He was a man like us, with the same needs, the same everyday life, the same Sabbath or Sunday, everything just like us. So was he. And he prayed according to the will and words of God, and so it happened. He prayed that it should not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed again that it should rain, and behold, it happened. And in this connection we are told that Elijah was a man like us. So we should draw hope and be strengthened in faith and not say, huh, those were men of God, those were prophets with a special status. There is no such thing with God. With God, there is no respect of persons. Everyone from every nation who comes to Him and believes in Him is acceptable to Him. And so, let us take this remark to heart. I will read it again from James 5, 17 and 18. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Here we are shown that God answers prayers. Here we are shown that God answers from heaven on earth. Here we are shown that God is able to make everything possible and also to fulfill and do everything. In the last part of verse 16, we are told, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We believe that God allows us to get into serious situations, and that then, in the midst of this seriousness that surrounds us, we can send up the prayer of faith to God, knowing that He hears and answers. If we continue reading in 1 Kings 17, we find wonderful words and sayings. The Lord commanded the ravens to feed him. Morning and evening he received his meal, bread and meat. We need not ask where the ravens got it from. They did not steal it. I may note here, they did not take it from any table that had been set somewhere. God prepared it for them. No one can tell me that they emptied Müller's or Meyer's table and brought it to Elijah. God has ways and means. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He made all the laws for the whole of nature. What do we read in the Old Testament about the people of Israel? That God fed them for 40 years, nourishing them with bread from heaven. And they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. We believe with all our hearts that God is almighty, that all things are possible for Him, and if we could believe, we too would see the glory of God. In verse 5 of 1 Kings 17 it says, So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. There are certain instructions in the word of God that the Lord has given, which we must obey, which we must fulfill on our part, and then we can expect God to do what he has promised on his part. But you see that even here God's ways can be very different. A completely new situation can arise within a few years. We see this here with Elijah. In chapter 17, verse 7, we read, "And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Those who know the story know what comes next. A widow who wanted to eat her last meal with her only son. There was drought throughout the land, the need was great, and the last of her provisions was running out. And behold, this woman, who wanted to prepare the last for the last meal, must learn that God is sending her another table companion, for whom there is actually nothing left. She said, "There's only enough for me and my son, and then we will die." She could see that the oil in the jug was running out, and the flour in the jar was only enough for one last meal. But then God came into the picture. He sent his servant and prophet so that this widow would not die in the time of drought and famine, but would be kept alive by a miracle. At first glance, it seems as if God wants to send his prophet to a very poor house where there is nothing left to offer him. But then the whole picture changes and the Lord intervenes. He not only provides for the two of them, he provides for the three of them. I will now read verse 12. "And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." The last meal was to be served, and then certain death. But God saw their condition, he saw their need, and he made sure that the water in the brook Kirit stopped flowing, for it had stopped raining, and he commanded his servant and prophet to go where the need was greatest, to keep alive what should be kept alive. The ways of our God are sometimes incomprehensible, but always wonderful. And there is a scripture in the New Testament, I believe it is in Luke 4, when the Lord referred, it should be Luke chapter 4, when the Lord referred to this event, he said the following, Luke chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. We see how the ways of the Lord are, and sometimes we might ask ourselves, why did God show mercy to this particular house? Why not to all the others? Dear friends, we do not need to ask ourselves why. We will not get the answer here. But God knows the hearts. He knows who will receive Him gratefully and who will not. He knocks where the door is opened to Him. Have we understood that? He does not want to always be rejected. He wants us to come to Him, to knock, and then the door will be opened to us. I continue reading from 1 Kings 17, verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. This also sounds very strict. The prophet seems to have been hungry. He wants to eat first, and then the others should eat. But God had a plan. It had been revealed to him what order had to be observed in this house, so that God's miracle could truly happen. I continue reading from verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. I don't know what we all think about this, but I believe it. I believe what is written here. The woman was able to turn on the tap as often as she needed oil, no matter how many liters. The little oil was multiplied, and so was the little flour. Why? Because God had ordained it so. God can truly do anything. Think of the feeding of the 5,000, and then the feeding of the 4,000. Did not the Lord take a few loaves of bread and a few fish? And what did He do? He gave thanks and broke, and broke, and broke. And the bread remained in His hands, and He distributed. And behold, there was still bread in His hands that could be broken and distributed. Do we believe it? 100%. In His hands, God's miracles happen here on earth. When we read such scriptures and recall events of this kind, gratitude wells up within us, and we say, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. And we realize that the Lord even cares about the widow and her son. God cares about you, even when you are at the end of your tether and think that you can't go on any longer, that you have had enough, that your strength is failing. We are at the end of our tether. God is then at the beginning. Where we are at the end, God begins to work miracles that fill us with wonder. To return briefly to the multiplication of the loaves, you all know that when all those thousands had eaten, and at that time only the men were counted, not the women and children, as it is written, and if there were 5,000 men, then let us imagine how many women and children were added to that, and what a crowd of people ate in total. And what did the Lord say to his disciples? Give them something to eat. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and they distributed it. I'm glad that exactly 12 baskets were left over, no less and no more. The Lord had called 12 into his service. 12 distributed the food, and 12 baskets were left over so that more could be distributed. And we continue to distribute to this day. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Lord breaks bread for us, and we are allowed to distribute it. Back then, in the days of the prophet Elijah, a miracle happened. The oil and the flour were multiplied. Not only could the family have been fed, but all the neighbors could have been taken care of. For where God gives, he gives abundantly, and no one need worry that it will not be enough at some point. I continue reading. Verse 15 says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. But Elijah had the Lord's instruction. He passed on God's instruction, and she did as he said. And so we read, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. What a strengthening of faith for us all. The word of the Lord never returns void, regardless of what area it refers to. What God has said will happen, must happen. The heavens will fall before his word deceives me, as the singers have already sung. And we know that Scripture cannot be broken. God keeps his promises. In verse 17, we find something very strange, that hardship, sickness, and death can also enter the house where a great miracle of God has previously taken place. And that is the situation we find most difficult to cope with, because we remember what God has already done. And suddenly we find ourselves in a situation that we are facing and have no advice or help available. Let me read from verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? At that moment she forgot the good that God had already done for her and her son. She forgot what God had already done, looked at the present moment, and gave way to her distress and despair. And she said, Man of God, you came only to remind me of my guilt before God, and now to bring disaster upon my house. There are situations where we judge ourselves and also God's servants with what happens to us. We have an inner conflict and we ask ourselves why this had to happen or why it happened. There is nothing new under the sun. People are all the same. They react in the same situation and circumstances exactly as everyone else before us has reacted. Thanks be to the Lord for such examples in Holy Scripture. For all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for our edification, exhortation and comfort. Everything we need can be found in Holy Scripture. Verse 19 reads, And he said unto her, Give me thy son. No reproach, no argument, no it's my fault, or you are to blame, back and forth. No, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. We notice that he did not shy away. He believed. He recognized the seriousness of the situation. He did not look for an excuse. Let's see what God wants. He knew what God wanted. God wanted to glorify himself. God wanted to confirm his word anew. As I have often said about Peter, there are those who preach about how he doubted and began to sink, and then he is rebuked a little. I see it exactly the opposite way. I see that God arranged it so that even an apostle does not remain completely steadfast under certain circumstances. But I also see that the Lord, who performed one miracle, is present to perform the second miracle. The first miracle was that Peter was able to walk on the water. The second miracle happened when the Lord was near and saw his outstretched hand and took hold of him and pulled him out. The Lord is near us. The Lord is present. And when we think we are going under, let your hand still be seen. Even if, figuratively speaking, the water is up to here, and we have all experienced this, and those who have not yet experienced it will experience it. Even if the water sometimes reaches our necks, and we know that without God's intervention we will now go under, we can also know that the Lord is closest to us when our need is greatest, ready to intervene, and he will not let any of his own be put to shame. Should I be the first to be put to shame? No, that is impossible, you faithful refuge. Rather will the heavens fall than your word deceives me. as the song goes. We continue reading here in 1 Kings 17, verse 20. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. If we now ask ourselves whether we can believe that the same God who gives every human being and everything that has life, the breath of life, when they enter this world, can't the same God breathe new life into people at some point? Isn't it true that every newborn life that sees the light of this world receives the breath of life by God's grace, and every human being thus becomes a living soul? The same God who gives the breath can take it away and can give it again. Oh, that we could believe, we would see the glory of God. Oh, that we could trust the Lord more, even in times of trial, not with reproaches, but with faith, looking up to God, and then experiencing that the Lord is faithful, and that he does not abandon his own, even when we encounter things that we consider impossible. But listen, outwardly, the same thing happens to all people, all over the earth. People are born into this world in the same way, whether they are believers or unbelievers. The same fate befalls all people. There are no diseases that are chosen for unbelievers or those that can be chosen for believers. The same thing happens to everyone. But what does it say in a psalm? I believe it was Asaph in his psalm who wrestled with God and with his fate. And he said, all the wicked prosper, they flourish, and are without want. And he was almost in despair. Then comes the glorious verse. But when I went into the sanctuary and saw the fate of the wicked, at that moment his feelings changed. He knew that those who are on God's side have eternal blessings. And it is not only about temporal well-being. It is also about what follows this life, namely the glory into which we will pass by the grace of God. I would like to read the last verses here. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Before she believed it, after God's confirmation, she knew it. Paul writes at one point, I know whom I have believed. I know in whom I have placed my trust. We believe, and because we believe, we see the word we believe confirmed by God. And when a time comes, when the Lord seems to be a little slow in coming, the word applies, wait for the promise, for it will not tarry. God fulfills His word. As I said before, not always exactly when we want it, but never too late. Praise be to His holy name. Never too late, always at the right time. And so we too can put our trust completely in the Lord God, in every situation, under all circumstances, in every place, where things begin to fall short, where there is an end, where we can go no further. God can go further with us and with all others. As far as the ministry of the church is concerned, the Lord has given us promises. I would like to read John 9 from the Gospel of John, chapter 9. Here we read from verse 1. John 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Beloved, there is a possibility that things may happen to us that are not related to sin. Sin is not always the cause of illness. There are examples in Scripture where people were struck by what we would call misfortune. Let us think of the woman who had been bent over for 18 years, and the Lord said, This daughter of Abraham, whom God had mercy on. We cannot ask why 18 years had to pass, or why 38 years had to pass, or 2 or 3 years. Let us leave aside the why and thank God in faith that He has had mercy on us and accepted us. And I will read you the verse that goes with it, namely verse 4 and then also verse 5. We must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. It is simply a matter of God's works being revealed, where the ministry of Jesus is continued, where the Word, the Gospel, the full message of salvation is preached. There Jesus Christ continues His ministry. There what happened in His ministry at that time happens. He confirms His word with signs following. We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. We can say the same thing today. The day of salvation, the day of grace is still here. But the day of the Lord, The day of judgment is just very close. The day has waned. The sun has set. Evening is here. Spiritually speaking, we are approaching midnight, and the Lord has made it light at evening time. We are not ashamed to declare openly before God and all people that we have recognized and seen the fulfillment of Scripture in our days. And we may say, as the woman said back then, "Now I know that the word in thy mouth is truly the word of God." So it is with Elijah, whom God has sent in our days. The word of God in his mouth has been the true word of God. And for this, we are grateful to the Lord, for so it is written in the Old and New Testament. In the Old Testament, Malachi 4, verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And it is no coincidence that immediately after the experience of the transfiguration, when he came down from the mountain, the Lord gave his disciples, who asked him about this and said, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come?" And then in Matthew 17, verse 11, the Lord gave them such a clear answer that no theologian can interpret it differently from how it is written here. Matthew 17, verse 11. "And he said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things." This is a promise spoken by our Lord in the New Testament, but referring to the Old Testament. He will come and he will restore all things. John the Baptist, who came in the spirit and power of Elijah, did his ministry and was also sometimes compared to or referred to as Elijah. But he came before the dawn of the day of salvation and not before the dawn of the great and terrible day of the Lord. So we also have a clear order and division in the Holy Scriptures in this regard. And if anyone here wants to blur this, we will not allow it. But we will say, "So it is written, thus has the mouth of the Lord spoken, and the word in his mouth is the absolute truth. He said, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things." That was in the future, and with God as our witness, it was fulfilled in Brother Branham's ministry. With reference to John the Baptist, it has been said, "Elijah is come already," but they did not recognize him. Both are true. Both are in the Word of God. John came in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare the way for the Lord, according to Malachi 3, verse 1, and Isaiah 40, verse 3. Then the promise remained open that Elijah would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes to restore all things. May the Lord grant us grace for this. In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 5, it says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. At that time, he was the light. He radiated light. He gave light. And he said, whoever follows me will not remain in darkness, but will have the light of life. Beloved, the same Lord says that we too are the light. Matthew chapter 5, a very serious and at the same time glorious word. Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, here it says in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Now comes the explanation. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Who is the candlestick? John saw the sevenfold candlestick. The lampstand is the church. When God gives light, reveals his word, then the light must be placed upon the lampstand. We have a more sure word of prophecy, which shines like a bright light in a dark place. A light is not lit so that it remains hidden, but it must be placed upon the lampstand. And the reason is, so that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Thanks be to God. And I don't want to go into many scriptures, but you know the Epistle of Peter, where it is written that we are being built up as a house of God, as living stones. Christ is the foundation. We are the living stones. You also know the word from Hebrews, where it says, Moses was faithful in the house of God, and Christ as Son is faithful in his own house, and his house are we. So it is written. Now it is said here that this light should shine for all in the house after it has been placed upon the lampstand. Whether this refers to an earthly house and an earthly light is open to question. May it be so. But one thing is clear to all of us. The Lord was not only concerned with making it clear to people in earthly terms that when it gets dark, a light is not simply lit and then hidden again so that it remains dark. But if a light must be lit, then it must be lit for the purpose for which it was intended, namely to illuminate the room. When darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people, and God in his mercy, in his church, in his house, lights a light, then that light must not be hidden again, not fall under the table, not be hidden under a bushel, but it should shine for all who are in the house. And I dare say that all who are in the house of God are being enlightened in these days, precisely through the light that God has graciously given us. So he says here, ye are the light of the world. And then we realize the connection this statement has, namely that a light is lit, which is then placed upon the lampstand, to give this enlightenment, this light, to all who are in the house. I believe with all my heart that God has done this in our days. He gave light in the darkness. revealed what was hidden, opened our understanding to what could not be understood before. And we can say with perfect faith that everything in the plan of salvation is happening according to a plan, namely God's plan. In this too, God is never late. I know, I would like things to move more quickly, so that there might already be joy and rejoicing in the house of God. But let us walk in this light that God has given us, in the revelation of His Word and His will for our time. Let us wait patiently, as Job waited, until it pleases the Lord to grant total restoration and to bless us all anew and make us a blessing to others. Our God has a plan of salvation, which He is carrying out. At that time He had Elijah, who was sent to where earthly bread, earthly food was running out. In our days, He has sent Elijah to give us food in due season, to sustain us in the spiritual famine. For thus it is written in the prophet Amos, "The days are coming when God will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread and water, but a hunger of hearing the word of the Lord." I do not want to judge, only to speak the truth, that there are two directions in our days. One that wants to hear what tickles the ears, and the other that wants to hear the unadulterated, pure word that their hearts desire. Where do we feel the urge to scratch our ears from time to time? Or does it speak to our hearts? Is there a spiritual hunger that God can satisfy? Let us summarize. In James 5, the man of God wrote in the New Testament, Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed, and God heard him, and acted according to what he prayed, because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Believe me, we too will have prayers where we receive the inspiration of the Spirit. And when the prayer has come to an end, we will speak out what God has inspired us to say through the Spirit in prayer. And then it will happen as it happened then. The New Testament has shed light on the Old Testament in this regard. Elijah did not simply say, "It shall be done this way." He prayed, and in prayer, God revealed to him what must happen. And then he spoke and said, "Unless at my word." But the word had already been given to him. His word was God's word. He was the mouth of the Lord. God spoke through him. And that is the connection that God is establishing in His church in these days. His word is our word. His thoughts are our thoughts. His ways are our ways. His deeds are our deeds. His work is our work. That the perfect unity between God and the church is established, so that the connection is restored, and we trust God to perform miracles, God does not change. He remains the same for all eternity. He multiplies the flour, the oil, the bread. He was able to ensure that the clothes of the Israelites did not wear out in the slightest during 40 years. 40 years, the same suit, the same shoes, no cobbler, no tailor. They were all unemployed. There was nothing to do. The Lord preserved them. The Lord gave stability in everything. Our God is an almighty God. He carries out on earth what He has set out to do. And we may gratefully confess that by grace we may count ourselves among His people, that we may form His house, that we have understood what the candlestick means, and that the enlightenment God gives us belongs upon the lampstand, so that all who are in the house of God, may recognize that there is one who walks among the seven golden candlesticks, that there is one whose word is valid in His church, and we may honestly and sincerely count ourselves among them and say with a widow, "Now I know in truth that the word of God in thy mouth is truth." Much of the word of God is preached today. Last week, I received the Encyclopedia Britannica yearbook. I have the entire series. And there the Catholic Church speaks of the great evangelization until the year 2000. The same terms, evangelization, evangelize, everything is used everywhere. And I already knew that there are very many in the charismatic movement, and there it is written in black and white, there are 353 million, if I'm not mistaken, as the second movement behind the Roman Catholic Church within Christianity, which now counts the Pentecostal charismatic movement throughout the world. Numbers that one would consider impossible, but they are now written in such an encyclopedia that enjoys worldwide renown. Beloved, and there we are reminded of the word, that in the end things will be so close together that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. But it is not possible, for the elect are part of the word. They believe, as the scripture says, the light shines for them in the darkness. The light is upon the lampstand. We do not look to men or movements that are going on. We look to the Lord and to what He is doing in our days according to His word. Brothers and sisters, the times we live in are serious. We experience it every day. The news is full of it. There's always something new to report about the whole of Europe. The date has already been set for the EFTA countries and the EC to merge. Everything should be completed by 1992. One united Europe, all under one head. The great European house. Bible prophecy is coming to pass. Indeed, it is being fulfilled before our very eyes. History is taking its course. It may not affect you, beloved ones in Switzerland, as much as it affects us. But those who have experienced what division brought with it, can only rejoice that things are now different. But who would have thought it possible that the shack, there's no other way to describe it, at Checkpoint Charlie, the crossing point for all those who are not of German nationality, which was valid until now, where everyone crossed over, French, Americans, English, everyone, the shack is being transported to Washington and placed in a museum. Those times are all over. The Cold War is over. And that reminds me of 13th of August, 1961, when the tanks rolled up on both sides, the Allies here, the Russians there. For 3 days they stood facing each other, and no one knew what would happen. The day before yesterday, Shevardnadze said, 6 months after the agreement, all troops can be withdrawn from here. What is it? It must happen, so that one Europe can emerge as the last power, as described in the prophet Daniel and in Revelation. We do not want to go into these things any further. But if politics fits in with Bible prophecy, then we cannot ignore such politics. We must recognize the signs of the times and determine how far developments have progressed. May the Lord God save what is lost, heal what is sick, and reveal Himself to His people, call out the last ones. For the coming of our Lord is very near. No one knows how much time we have, but we all know one thing. We must redeem it and use it properly to bring the last message to the people, so that they have no excuse. They may listen or not. That is a decision each person must make for themselves before God. Our task is to preach, whether they listen or not. They should know that there was God's message in this time, and we want to bring it to all peoples, tongues, and nations. Never despair in dark hours. Never doubt God's word. What He speaks will come to pass. Only believe, as the song goes. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Lord, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank You from our hearts for Your presence. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Elijah, the God of Moses, the God of Paul, the God of Brother Branham. You are our God, the only God there is. We thank You that You are present here today. We believe that Your word does not return void, for we know that it is true and cannot return void, but will accomplish in all who believe it what You have sent it to do. You can multiply today. You can perform miracles in every way. We thank You for this, and we ask You to let it happen now through the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and through the authority of the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, may every word of God to us be confirmed as true. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Lord, together we thank You that You have given light at evening time. And we thank You that this light has been placed upon the lampstand, so that all who are in the house may be enlightened and see the way they must go. O God, let us walk in the light of Your revealed word. Have thine own way with thy people in these days. Take away all doubt, all hesitation, all unbelief, and glorify thyself in the midst of thy people, to the honor and praise of thy name, and confirm your word. We thank you that you have done it, and praise your glorious name. I thank you already, faithful God, that we will hear testimonies of what you have done here today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We believe that you, Almighty God, are in our midst today, and that you bore witness as the Almighty. You are above all circumstances, above every need, every illness, O God. And where we are at the end, there you begin to prove yourself glorious and confirm your word, for you are faithful. We know in whom we believe, in you, the risen and returning Lord, our Savior. It is you whom we honor. We praise you, Yahweh of the Old Testament, is Yahshua of the New, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. O Lord, lift up your countenance upon us and give us your blessing and your peace. Grant us positive thinking in faith, positive speaking in faith, Lord, that we may silence unbelief, and only those who believe may speak. O beloved Lord, we praise you and we worship you. May it be with us as it was with Paul, who could say, I believe, therefore I speak, and bind our mouths as you did with Zacharias. Should we want to speak in unbelief, then do not allow it, but loosen our tongues, where they speak the promises of God in faith, to give glory to you, the living God. Lord, like Abraham, we call the things that are not yet as if they already were, for we look to you, the invisible one, as if we saw you walking among us. Hallelujah! Confirming your word as true. Lord, lift up your countenance over all of Europe, over the whole earth. Once more, O God, once more, and empower your church for the final ministry you have entrusted to us. You have blessed us and confirmed your word. We will happily go on our way and give you glory for it. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.